But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I must confess, this text from our gospel springs out from the pages and strikes me like an arrow piercing my own heart. For I confess to you that I have been anxious and troubled about many things. I've been anxious and troubled about elders' meetings and Board of Ed meetings and youth meetings and voters' meetings. I've been anxious and troubled about summer camp and VBS, about church attendance and faithfulness to the Word of God, about mold and house repairs, about occupational therapy and counseling and dentist appointments, about troubled members and members who seem to want to cause trouble. You know who you are. Joke. About my own failings and shortcomings as a neighbor, pastor, friend, father, husband, and child of God. And in my anxiety and trouble, I find myself as Martha, standing there, staring at Mary, envious and angry. I look around and see that there is so much to get done with so little time to do it, and I simply envy Mary, because she sits at the feet of Jesus without a care in the world and just listens. When was the last time you simply sat and listened to Jesus? And I mean truly listened. When was the last time you sat without distraction or a care concerning anything else and read your Bible? Or listened to the sermon? Or participated in Sunday school? Or so on? Like Martha, we are by nature a people of action. We like to be people on the move, which isn't bad in and of itself. But we often become tempted to then believe that our actions and our doings are more important, more meaningful than anything else in life. Doing becomes better than listening. Acting becomes better than learning. And when we give into that temptation, we rob ourselves of the one thing that's necessary. The one thing that gives meaning to all other things. We rob ourselves of God's word. And then we continue on living as if we had not heard God speak at all. That's Martha's problem. It's not as if she's sinning by serving. No, she's fulfilling the very hospitality of Abraham. She is providing the very hospitality that Christ calls us to serve each other with. Jesus only rebukes Martha when she declares that her task is more important than hearing the word of God from God himself. Now, saying it out loud like that sounds absolutely absurd. But how often do we fall into the same temptation, the same trap as both individuals and even as the church? We are anxious and troubled by many things. We are anxious and troubled by our lengthy inactive list. We are anxious and troubled by our lack of youth filling our pews. We are anxious and troubled by a decrease in attendance and offerings in general. We are anxious and troubled by a building and equipment that is aging. We are anxious and troubled when a church event or program doesn't happen the way we plan or expect. We are anxious and troubled when we don't get it our way. And then we believe that our first priority is to do something about it, to fix something, to change something, to complain about something. I would venture it's not very often that we pause to consider what God's word has to say about it first. We don't want to take the time to listen. Instead, we just want to get right to doing something about it. Our voters' meetings, our board meetings, our committee meetings. In our life together, we often believe that we must first and foremost address these anxieties and troubles by doing something. And while more often than not we should act, we should not do so at the expense of listening to Jesus. We should not so quickly tire of God's word that we have no place for it in our voters or other meetings. We should not so quickly tire of God's word that we grumble when church goes an extra 10 or 15 minutes because we have other more important things to do. God's word is not something that should make its way into our lives when it's convenient. But instead, God's word is the one thing that is necessary. That is why God over and over again tells us to take heed of his word, to listen to his voice, to know when the shepherd calls. He even commands us, because he knows us well, he commands us to take time out of our week to listen to his word proclaimed. After all, we are people of his word. We are to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest that word. After all, that word is what makes us who we are. The word of the Lord is the very promises of God laid up for you from before the foundation of the world. The word of the Lord is God himself speaking through his prophets and apostles for your sake, that you might know who he is and what he has done for you, that you might trust in him. The word of the Lord reveals to you what his will toward you and for you is. The word of the Lord is his son, is the Son himself, who is bleeding and dying and rising again for you, inaugurating God's kingdom without end for you. The word of the Lord is the very means through which he feeds you the forgiveness of sins and sustains you to life everlasting. The word of the Lord is living and active. It's not boring. It is a doing word, a saving word, a transforming word. It is the one thing that is necessary, for without it you wither and die, but with it you will endure. For all things in this world will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And just as he guarded Mary's good portion of his word from being taken from her, he also guards your good portion from being taken away from you as well. Each and every week, he holds out your good portion for you as he speaks his word to you on Sunday mornings, through the liturgy, through the hymns, through the sermon. He holds out your good portion to you as he speaks to you in Sunday school, at Bible study on Thursday morning or on Tuesday nights during the week, or at the women's Bible study once a month. He holds out your good portion to you as he speaks to you at midweek chapel. He even holds out your good portion to you each and every day as his word sits on your shelf at home, or your phone is in your pocket. Jesus daily and richly provides you with your good portion, that one thing that's necessary. Don't let it go to waste, and don't let your faith spoil. Instead, before all else, before you do anything else, go to God's word. Let it give you joy and peace in the midst of your anxieties and troubles. Let it give you your Savior, who has purchased and won you from the devil's dominion of darkness with his own precious blood and bitter sufferings and death, and rose again to bring you into his own kingdom of light, where you serve him in all righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And that is where he takes your burden and puts it upon himself and gives you rest. For that, brothers and sisters, is by far the one thing that's necessary. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with our offering.